We are fully committed to making great beer and ensuring that we have a planet to drink it on.
We don't have all the answers, but we're putting our money where our heart is.
What happens when a company makes bold sustainability promises only to run headlong into business reality?
There was absolutely a culture of fear.
People were having panic attacks. People are crying behind the building.
The statements you heard at the beginning were made by the founders of BrewDog, a self-proclaimed post-punk apocalyptic mother of a craft brewery. A brewery with a purpose. But it wasn't too long before those statements of purpose began to ring hollow. On this episode of Risky Business, we consider the upsides and downsides of committing to unrealistic sustainability goals.
So there's a lot of focus at the moment in corporate sustainability on purpose. What is the purpose of your business? And ultimately, most businesses are still in business to make money, but they know that that doesn't necessarily engage their customers. It doesn't necessarily engage their staff. It may engage their shareholders, but they need to go for a broader range. And so you find a lot of companies who are now stating their purpose, which is a much higher level, and it tends to bring in environmental and social issues.
Now, BrewDog is a craft brewery company from the UK. It launched in 2007 with a real bang.
Hello. We're on a mission to put taste, flavour and attitude back in people's beer glasses.
Punk IPA is a revolution in a bottle.
Its first products, including its Punk IPA, gained global praise and recognition, even as its punk approach to brand marketing attracted censure and criticism. The founders promised to meet the highest standards of verified social and environmental performance, and they would help build a better world. They promised to plant forests in Scotland, to source their power from wind farms, become a fully certified carbon-negative business, and, most of all, to treat their staff with respect and pay them well. And that's where the biggest problems began to arise. BrewDog was eventually forced to apologise to those employees, who accused it of creating a culture of fear, in which workers were bullied and treated like objects. The company lost its B Corp certification. Questions were raised when the promised forest failed to appear, and the company delayed its proposed stock market listing. Even the BBC broadcast an hour-long documentary asking some tough questions.
We take a deep dive into BrewDog's turbulent waters.
Now, on this episode of Risky Business, we're not here to rehash the BrewDog story, but to examine how other startup companies should consider their sustainability promises and goals, and how they might avoid some of the traps that BrewDog fell into. And helping us with that is Travin Singh, the co-founder and CEO of Less & Co. Like BrewDog, Less & Co. is a brewer of alcoholic and non-alcoholic drinks, and like BrewDog, it has made robust sustainability promises. It's already a registered B Corp, and its beer is produced using recycled surplus food, like bread. Hence the name of its beer, Crust. So, what can Travin and other startups learn from the BrewDog experience? So let's begin with how BrewDog began as a company that they said people want to work for because they had values, they said they were passionate, they were real, and they had integrity. And so I just wanted to sort of walk down that path of what all that means. As you start up a company that has similar elements to it, tell me how you look at that BrewDog approach to starting their business and what lessons have you taken from that?
I think from a branding standpoint, they have been doing a lot of things right so far, I feel, personally. The narrative that they have for their consumers and all. In terms of preaching that they can be a really great place to work at, I think that's far more difficult, far more complex in any company to go out there and say that really early on. So for us, environmentally, we know what we're doing. We know exactly how we contribute back because every single one of our products are upcycled. So from the get-go, we are already sustainable. Of course, when it comes to the narrative, the branding side is a little bit more fun, a bit more quirky. But I will never go out there and say I'm a great, like, Crust is a great place to work at.
So you're saying that what they did
effectively positioning themselves as the David in a Goliath market with this punk apocalyptic approach and doing some really crazy stuff like throwing stuffed cats out of helicopters into the city of London and offending everybody that they possibly could. I mean, you think that's a sort of a wise move to launching a brand?
No, not at all. Not for me. I think from a packaging, a product standpoint, in branding in that aspect, really good. In some of their videos and some of the other stuff that they have done, I think they definitely could have done a bit more thinking around the repercussions. But if the repercussion is what you want and what you're seeking for, then I think they've done a great job.
That's it. I mean, we're here talking about it now. If they had played by all of the standard rules, they probably wouldn't have gotten beyond being a niche brand in Scotland.
But equally, they probably would not have got into the kind of mess that they found themselves in on numerous occasions, surely.
No, but I think they actually welcomed the mess, and they even said they welcomed the mess. That is part of their marketing strategy.
But could it go wrong from an ESG perspective?
Well, this is where I'm really interested in this story, because a lot of companies now are putting out purpose statements. They're trying to say that we are here for more than just the profitability. We are here to do good as well, do good for our consumers, do good for the environment, to do good for our staff. And from a Risky Business Asia perspective, I think companies are looking at it of how far do I want to go down this purpose path and how will we be held to account if we don't meet those high standards? And so here's a company, BrewDog, which, you know, started as the underdog. They started out with intent and purpose, yes, on sustainability and ESG. They wanted to do well by their staff. They wanted to have a low environmental footprint. But they also wanted to take an advocacy position on different topics. Where I think it went wrong, perhaps, is that they went too far down some paths rather than it was wrong to start out to have that ESG perspective at all. So I think the risk is what happens when you don't stay true to the purpose that you have stated.
I think I'm going to ask a question here, right? Why is it that every ESG company out there, or the perceived mentality of what an ESG company looks like, is like a goody two shoe, right? Go back to school and just come back home and just like study and like be good. Why can't an ESG company still be a little bit more controversial, a bit more fun, a bit more over the top? Because that's originality in its essence also.
Oh, they absolutely can. And I would never call a company an ESG company, quite frankly. ESG is the new kid on the block and it's come from the world of finance. Sustainability is a concept of can you continue to do this into the future? And most businesses should be wanting to be sustainable from that perspective.
And that's so where the branding and the purpose sort of come into conflict a little bit, don't they? Because, yeah, you're right. Why can't he be edgy and pushing the boundaries? But as far as BrewDog is concerned, not only did they really decide they didn't want to push the boundaries, they wanted to kick down the whole structure. And they said that pretty much openly right from the beginning. But then they also began to transgress those value statements that they made themselves.
Yeah, I don't mind that they kicked down, you know, the boundaries and stomped on them. I think it's more where they came into conflict, like particularly they had a petition of 100 of their staff, posed an open letter that there was a culture of fear within the company. That to me is going beyond just kicking down boundaries. It really isn't staying true to what they said their purpose was.
And not just that, they just got a couple of, I think it was about 18 months ago, they got kicked out of the B Corp certification because they weren't staying true to that purpose. Now, you started with B Corp registration right from the get-go. How hard is it going to be for you to avoid your branding beginning to transgress and your corporate behavior and the market conditions giving you similar problems?
Corporate behavior and market conditions, I can't really control, right? In terms of what we do as a company, it's upcycling. It's environmentally friendly from the get-go. It's going to be really difficult for us to lose the certification, to be very honest, versus just another company who's making just another product. And then, okay, here's how much of carbon credits I buy. And this where else I put 1% of my profits into. So it's going to be a lot more difficult for me to lose my certification. But if I do, it's it's not that bad after all, because it also shows that the certification is becoming a lot more stringent in its certification process. But I think there's one aspect to go back to your whole ESG purpose branding side of the story. I think it boils down not to the branding, not to what you say your purpose is, or what you relay and like everything else that you do. I think it boils down to people. A startup, so running a startup, I know how hard it absolutely is. It's brutal. And I've gone from 13 to 3 people, and I was socially not the best company to work at in my first 2 to 3 years. To be very frank,
because you're still working it out.
Yes, I'm trying to figure it out. But having your management team or your co-founders or your director level people who have the same purpose, who share the same vision as you and drives that with you, that culture will definitely go throughout the company as you go from 5 people to 20 people to 50 to 100 to 1,000 people. So that's what I believe in having the right people in the company.
And can I ask a bit about culture then? So if we look at Asian culture and how you use brand and purpose, do you think it's different to do marketing in Asia Pacific than it might be, say, in the UK and Europe? So if 100%. We look at BrewDog, who could be very controversial, swear in the name of their brands and really push those boundaries, I have a sense that you couldn't be successful in Asia Pacific with 100%. That approach.
Yeah, we have Asian parents and they're called Asian parents for a reason. Yeah, so this will not fly in Japan, right? Japan is all about respect. It's about, you know, you making sure everybody's really comfortable. It might actually sell in Singapore, I feel. It might sell in Hong Kong.
But it does sell in Singapore, doesn't it? Or only some labels?
Brewdog, I think it depends. As in terms of the concept of being that. So BrewDog sells here, but the narrative is very different here, right? It's literally just another beer from the UK. That's essentially how we look at BrewDog.
So they're not necessarily selling "my name is Vladimir" here?
No, not at all. Not at all. So in Singapore, Hong Kong, I think controversy could sell, but in majority of the bigger markets in Asia, especially Southeast Asia, it's not going to sell.
How about in Australia? You said you've done some work in Australia. Australians like to be a little bit controversial.
It's 100% going to sell in Australia, definitely. I mean, Australians are known to have a lot of fun. So it definitely will sell in Australia, I feel.
So what you're saying is you need to know your market and what their tolerance levels are, and you can't take it to be Asia or Asia Pacific as one market. From that cultural perspective, it's actually different in different markets.
I feel taking ESG aside, for any brands, regardless of product, you first and foremost need to know which market your product fits in. And you then also need to understand whether is that where you want to go? Is that your motive in the company? Or do you want to go everywhere? If you want to go everywhere, then you need to do as much market research, change and tweak your narrative a little bit more or your branding for each market to suit the hyper-local side of things. So depending on your strategy as a brand, you can go either way.
But let's go back to you as a startup, or at least a very young company, and how you deal with building in ESG considerations into your work, not only your corporate value system and your mission, but also your working environment. Because again, to go back to the point Darren made earlier on about people, and BrewDog says that they are still regarded as a good company to work for, but the employees of BrewDog signed a letter recently complaining about the working conditions. And then most recently, just a few months ago, the company said it's dropping out of the pledges that it made to pay a living wage to its employees, right? They've gone back to what is the minimum wage standard in the UK because they say they can't afford it anymore. And so again, that process of saying we are committed to following an ESG path and then saying, oh, but only if market conditions allow, that's a real conflict, isn't it?
I mean, that not many companies actually pay living wage. And that is something where there is a difference between meeting the minimum standards. So in the UK, you had the whole controversy about 0 hours contracts and how people are employed. they are still saying they will pay minimum wage, but they've moved back from the living wage. And actually, not many companies do pay a living wage. So,
but then not many companies promise they will and then turn do a U-turn.
No. And that's where I would say, how do we hold companies to account to these purpose statements?
I think when you're controversial as a brand, the management can be really rash in decision-making. So I think this is just one of those moments where, because we're controversial, let's be as rash as possible, go out there and say that this is what we're going to do. And then unfortunately it did not happen.
But also I think they're held to a higher standard of account. You know, everybody jumped on that, oh, BrewDog have gone back from paying a living wage, whereas most companies in the UK aren't paying the living wage. But it's them who picks it up because they went out there and made this very public statement that they would
really
do the best.
But it really comes down, doesn't it, to the so much of the ESG controversy that is happening right now as to, should companies really be pursuing this because it detracts from their real purpose, which is to make a profit, which is to run a profitable corporation and all this kind of thing. And again, in your position, these are things that are going to be important because as your company grows, the staff expectations and the way you treat them and the way they treat their job is a key factor in this. So having committed yourself to B Corp status, at least for this year, because it's an annual thing, how are you going to balance the fact that you've said to your staff, or at least you've said to the world, our company is going to be sustainable because we've gone for B Corp. And then a few years down the line, you may find yourself in a situation exactly the same where, you know, if you go IPO and the shareholders are going to say, why are you wasting your time and your money in trying to stick to these values? Whereas if you cut the staff pay, you'd be more profitable.
Are you making an assumption there that you can't be sustainable and profitable?
Well, that's one of the key elements that's in live debate right now, right?
It's honestly a conversation I've been debating with a lot of people over the last 5 years. I think if 2 years ago, back in 2022, we had this conversation, I would have had a really different perspective because I was still trying to figure out my way and I've never been a CEO of a company before, right? I've never even ran a startup. But right now, I know for a fact that we are thriving. We have the right people to continue the vision of the company. And that is all that matters right now at the get-go. It's very important to have the right people who can sell your vision for you, personally for me. So we went from, again, 13 to 3 people, same visions aligned. Yes, B Corp might get harder to achieve over time, but to me, it's very important. It's of utmost importance because if I can show that I can have a sustainable business that is not just good for you, but is bringing in the money, right? I'm able to raise VC rounds. I'm able to scale in different markets and, you know, hopefully reach $100 million in revenue 10, 20 years down the road. It opens up the gateway for a lot of companies or startup founders or future startup founders to know that, okay, there is something here. We could do good and make a lot of money out of it. If we don't do it, who will, essentially? Nobody will, right? Everybody is just going to focus on large MNCs to try to navigate the ESG model for them. And it's far more complex for an MNC who is already so heavy with resources everywhere to just come in and say, okay, let's build ESG in every single department. It's going to be so much more difficult for them. So for us, it's like we know it has to start from now. Not 5 years later, not 1 year later, it has to start from now. And from the get-go, because I'd rather have a certification and lose it than not even have it at all.
And I think that your purpose is very much tied with your company's purpose. I mean, 100%. You want to make sure that this is both successful and sustainable at the same time. And I think 100%. Where some of the challenges come in is companies who really don't have that sense of purpose, but they feel the pressure to make the statements to be part of the group, yeah. Which is the group think around ESG.
But to be honest, in the last 5 years, there have been so many instances where within the company, we would have made a lot more money just by being a normal brand.
Oh, yeah? In what way? Give me an example without any commercial and confidence.
Just understanding the supply chain aspect of things, or the lack of knowledge from like just fundraising itself when they look at you and the fact that, oh, you are do good brand, right? So there have been narrative within some VC funds where, oh, all you're thinking about right now is sustainability, but we want to invest in a company that's going to 10x in like 7 years, right? And because I think you only focus on sustainability, you wouldn't want to do that. But that's not us, right? The whole reason for that restructuring and right-sizing is because we focus on path to profitability and making sure that we hit break-even as soon as possible and then grow from there. So there have been a lot of times where if I just make a regular beer or regular soda and not have to go through all this upcycling, social causes, right, this whole B Corp stuff, I would have made more money, in fact, to be very frank. But thankfully, we persisted over the last 5 years, and the right sizing really worked in our favor. I have two other great co-founders with the same vision and alignment as myself, and the company is better than ever before.
How much pressure have you had from potential investors, from potential employees, from anybody, to abandon the entire thought of a values-based, ESG-based approach? And how difficult has it been to overcome that sort of inbuilt resistance that you faced?
Internally, not at all, because the team that I have right now are aligned. The investors I've brought in are also aligned, majority. I would say maybe about 80 to 90% of them. The remaining 10 to 20, right, usually as just smaller investors, they will want to see more being done instead of more good. But because it's a small amount of them, a fraction of them, it's not so much. Externally, in terms of growth and understanding the supply chain of what we do, it has been a bit brutal for us, right, to be able to understand. So essentially, the only way for you to right-size, restructure, and move towards path to profitability is to collect enough dots to connect enough dots. It took us 5 years to be able to do all of that. But thankfully, because everybody in the company is aligned, it wasn't that difficult internally.
Do you find that being a sustainability aligned company has narrowed the investment pool? Like you have a smaller set of maybe VCs who are looking to invest?
Yes. I think it's even smaller because I'm sustainable and an alcohol company.
Oh, yeah, that's another interesting perspective. I mean, I know that, you know, some stock exchanges won't even list companies that make alcoholic beverages.
Correct.
ThaiBev in Thailand, for example, is listed on the stock exchange here in Singapore. So has that also ruled out some of the investments? And that is ESG investment. So in some ESG screenings, companies, you can't invest in companies that produce alcohol or drugs.
Yeah. I mean, I've had a lot of funds that I've approached who I think could be a great fit, but these are like maybe food tech funds who have a mandate that they don't do alcohol, or an impact fund who will come and say, oh, you're impact, but I don't do alcohol, et cetera, et cetera. Or maybe even a CPG fund who's like, okay, you're doing CPG or FMCG, but we don't understand sustainability, right? We know how to build brands. So not for me as well. So I think because of what we do as a company, that has been probably the biggest pressure actually on us. We've actually brought it back to like the drawing board and understand like, should we continue on this trajectory? Should we continue building this? Or should we just move towards just making another product? But so far, so good, right? We are sticking to what we do.
And all of this is very of the moment right now, isn't it? I mean, so many companies are asking themselves that question. And so many investors, whether they be VC or just equity market investors, and certainly a lot of loud voices, are shouting, why are you bothering doing this? The ESG agenda is a burden, it's a pain, it doesn't improve profits, we should just give it all up. How does one persuade guys like Travin that actually there's value in shouldering that extra burden and making that difference and making that value statement?
Well, luckily, we don't need to persuade guys like Travin. He's already convinced. But I think there has been a very superficial way that the financial markets have gone about ESG. And I would go back to sustainability is about, can you continue into the long term? A lot of the pressure to meet ESG requirements has, how can you do that right now? And it's not how the businesses were set up. It wasn't about their purpose. And it's being retrofitted, which is going back to your point, which actually makes it more of a burden because it isn't the purpose that they were set up for. And so I think the challenge you have is how, with a lot of the larger companies, do you then retrofit ESG and sustainability when the pressure when they were starting out was to be 10x, which is just to grow at all costs.
I think BrewDog is, not only have they caused this enormous controversy, but then they went and bought a bunch of land in Scotland saying, we're going to create a sustainable forest. And they said, we're going to be carbon positive. And then they said, we're going to power our breweries by wind.
Solar and all, yep.
I mean, making all these commitments would seem to be, oh, hurrah, we should celebrate that. But then you think, well, you look at this company and go, they're not really serious about this. I mean, how do you see that kind of approach to sustainable
corporate behavior? I actually think they've done a lot of things right, and they do have a purpose. And they started out, you know, as a small brewing company in Scotland. They wanted to beat the big incumbent corporates. They went about a different marketing strategy. They went for a different niche. I think there's a lot of valuable lessons to take from BrewDog, but at some point they crossed the line that they weren't staying true to their purpose. And I think the open letter from the staff about there being a fear of culture within the organization is a good example of where maybe they grew too fast, too far. Maybe they just went on the other side of their values. But if they had have stuck to them, I still think it would have been a good example.
What would your advice to them be now?
To actually look at what would it be to be a B Corp? What were you doing wrong? And where did your stakeholders really find criticism? And start to address those criticisms in a positive way.
I actually agree with Darian, where you mentioned, yeah, they have done more right than bad. But I feel, yes, somewhere in between, things did not go within what they want it to be. But I think it has got to do more with the people internally and people making decisions. And probably a lot of pressure when they did a really good crowdfund. They went out there, raised more money, opened more outlets, right? And that was their key focus, literally to like, okay, how do I go from like 30 locations right now to 100 to like 200
That's
locations?
That's it. It's the 10x growth. Correct. How do you grow so quickly and sustainably?
You need very different decision makers for such growth versus this is what's going to be my purpose. And different people to come on board and make those decisions for you. I think the question is not whether they lost B Corp and their conversation around it. The question is whether did they really care that they lost B Corp at the first place. If they didn't really care and they knew from the get-go that, okay, we're just going to lose it, but it's okay. We just stick to what we're going to do.
Because the market will support them anyway.
Correct. And because we have a great product right now and things are going well or reasonably well, and even if we don't make a profit in the next 1 or 2 years, but we know that based on our growth plans, within 3 years we will be profitable, then that's it. But besides everything I've mentioned, I think from a company standpoint versus every other company that I know in the UK, I think they've done more good than bad versus those companies. Is yes, they should once in a while just keep their mouth like shut.
So from the perspective of a CSO, what are the lessons that we should learn from BrewDog and people like Travin as they go through their business cycles? What do you think of the takeaways here?
The main takeaway for me is if you're going to go out there with a purpose and make grand statements about what you mean and what your business is trying to do, you need to stay true to that because the public, either your consumers or your staff or other stakeholders, will pick you up on it if you are being very public about what you're trying to achieve and then you don't go anywhere near that. So I don't think the mistake is committing to a higher purpose or ESG or sustainability. I think the mistakes come in when you don't actually walk the talk, when it's just all talk, and that's when companies get into trouble.
I don't believe, personally, based on my own journey, that if you have a purpose, you continue to preach that purpose and you follow that purpose throughout, because running a startup can be really brutal and it's not for everyone. And if you don't have the resilience to continue on your purpose, two things are going to happen. Either you have a great purpose and no company left, or you forego some of the purpose or the promise you've made to make sure that the company survives and thrive. So I think that is a lot more complex than if you have a purpose, you say it right now, 5 years later, you have to like follow that purpose. Yeah, people change over time.
I think that is true. But you see companies making these grand statements. Our purpose is to end world hunger. Well, maybe not. Maybe your purpose is to make donuts for the Philippines, and you want to do that really well. So in that sense, yes, you've got to be pragmatic about what it is that you're saying you're trying to do. And I see a lot of very grand statements where one company can't even deliver that.
Yeah.
You can't deliver world peace, or I will clean up the oceans, or whatever it happens to be. So it does need to be right-sized and a bit realistic. And to your point, if the company grows or if it shrinks, you should still be able to meet what you're trying to set out. But you're right. I think we need to build in a bit of flexibility. Maybe it's less totalitarianism of I will be the one. Maybe you have to be satisfied with being one of the many.
Yeah, I agree.
Good lessons for all. Thanks very much.
No worries. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.